The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in today, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Friday. Hey, is there football on Sunday? Oh, it's that week.
Sort of. There's flag football.
There's that.
I guess.
By the way, we never talked about how Tyler Huntley got voted in after starting four games.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that last night? I was texting you while I was watching some of it.
I did not.
I had no idea that stuff started last night.
Nor I.
Great job, NFL. I was just randomly working, and I'm like, hey, there's like NFL players in a Pro Bowl. And then it's like, it's at the Raiders practice facility, right? So you've got Derek Carr in the Raiders practice facility.
That's awkward. You're like,
this just gets more awkward every moment that we see Derek Carr here.
Didn't Derek Carr say, he goes, I guess this invitation got lost in the mail.
Yeah, he had a couple jokes about it. I'll tell you though, Gil, I watched maybe 17 minutes of some of the games combined.
There you go.
That's 16 minutes more than I would have watched of a regular Pro Bowl game. Mm-hmm. So whatever, I guess success.
Where,
I don't know.
Have I asked this before? Where does the NFL, in terms of all-star events?
Yes.
The NFL's version of it ranks dead last of American sports, North American sports?
Besides hockey, yeah.
It's better than hockey?
I don't know. I'm not watching either one.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
And that's just me. That's just me power ranking football over hockey.
And this concludes our deep dive analysis, ladies and gentlemen, of all-star games. On the show today, John Legesa joins us, Kelly. John Legesa, who will give us his favorite football prop, I believe, this weekend, and has a baseball formula of sorts that has produced some World Series bets. Look forward to that. Okay. I'm down. Paul Carr back with Premier League Picks, Senior Director of Content for True Media Sports. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN's Daily Wager will join us to talk Super Bowl 57, his favorite props. He's a Philly guy, isn't he?
I believe he is.
So this is what we're doing on this show. We give equal time. We had Eric Eager on. He's a Kansas City Chiefs fan earlier in the week. We're going Eagles fan with Fortenbaugh.
There we go. It was totally planned and well thought out.
Yeah.
That's what we do around
here.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly and I spent the day yesterday blanket shopping for our big trip to Radio Row.
Snuggle up next to the fire, Gil.
As we're dubbing it, a different kind of Radio Row. Matt Brown will join us from VSiN's Final Countdown. How can we always book Matt Brown? We can't book Stormy. She can't be on the show. It's always Matt. All right.
I mean, I'm sure we could.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't want to wake up this early either.
I don't want to do that to her. Matt Brown with his NFL football thoughts for Super Bowl 57. Let's see if he's made any prop bets as well. And Adam Burke joins us in studio. Always kind of him to hang out with us. We'll also take a look at, this is a good job on you right here, Kelly. You know, we talk about this for 2 weeks, Super Bowl 57. What are people actually betting the most? We have those figures from DraftKings, correct? Where we actually see what props. I'm gonna take a stab at a guess here, Kelly, on this. First touchdown score. It's my guess. Isn't that what it always is?
Yeah. I don't have the exact split percentage between that. I have the game props people are betting the most.
The actual, what do you mean by, what's the difference?
Like game props, not player props. I think first touchdown would fall under player props.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take a look at those. So we look forward to that as well. Let us begin with the National Basketball Association, because Kelly and I have had not one, not two, but probably three conversations recently about NBA MVP and if Nikola Jokic is just going to run away with this. Well, last night, my goodness, what a night in the NBA. First of all, aside from MVP, you see the little Cavaliers-Grizzlies kerfuffle?
Yeah. It was a fun night in the association. I was looking forward to it all day just because that Clippers-Bucks game, which I think it might be a future NBA Finals matchup potentially. That ended up being great. But yes, Dylan Brooks has a problem with hitting some stars below the belt. Donovan Mitchell made his feelings perfectly well known afterward about it. Basically called him out for being one of these guys that he does this regularly, and he said Dame and Steph would have my back, basically, with saying this.
Part of the post game, so again, for those who missed it, Dylan Brooks, when falling to the ground, decided to throw one of his arms back in his fist into Donovan's privates, and a scuffle ensued. And then after the game, Donovan Mitchell was sort of, by the way, the Cavaliers win the game 128-113. after the game, Donovan Mitchell was, yeah, let's be honest, he does that, as Kelly said. And I've been killing him all these years. I think that was his word. Something else.
Something
he said.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Are the Grizzlies the most unlikable good team in the NBA in recent memory, having not won a thing yet? And they just, between Dylan Brooks and between Ja probably talking a little more than he should.
Yeah.
They're kind of unlikable.
They're definitely growing into that team.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Adams is on there, too. There's a lot of guys on this team that if you're on the same team as them, you're glad they're to your teammates, right? But if you're opposing teams, there's a lot of guys who can get really annoying. I think Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks fall under that category big time.
So last night, by the way, LeBron had 26 for the Lakers. Pacers had all kinds of chances to win it at the end. Patrick Beverley missed a couple free throws. Couldn't do it. Lakers win 112 to 111. But to the MVP discussion. So Giannis in that game you were talking about, Kelly, Bucks Clippers game where the Bucks won it by a point. No points were scored in like the last 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. Clippers had their chances too. And it just held 106-105. The Bucks win it, which is a nice win after our conversation yesterday about taking the Bucks to have the best record. By the way, someone tweeted and said, hey, I see a number one seed on the Bucks at 12-1 or plus 1250. He's like, isn't that a better bet? I'm like, yes, it is.
You know what? I was going to bring that up today because that market is listed today or listed a lot of shops. Shop around because, I think absolutely you would compare it that way.
We didn't take our own pro tip. Shop around for different markets where you can find an even better a better number on something.
Because the other big one about that, right, is it eliminates – so we were talking about possibly taking some of the Nuggets and some of the Bucks, right?
Eliminates
you eliminate a conference.
Yeah, eliminates the Nuggets. So last night, Giannis, it's as if he heard our conversation about, hey, can Joker get a third straight MVP? And I keep pounding this point, and this is about the third time I've said this. The only three people that have ever won back-to-back-to-back MVPs in the history of the NBA are Larry Bird, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain. So voters on, and the reason I keep pounding that is because voters are going to have to then put Nikola Jokic in that realm of NBA history. You won't be able to tell the story of the NBA without that little detail. Will that be an issue?
So, Fall of Money had Tom Haberstroh on the show earlier, caught a little bit of that. I thought he had a great take on that. In my opinion, I think there's a difference between voter fatigue, Gil, and what he brought up of are you willing to go the length of putting his name with the company of those other names.
So he said it like this, where I said it without the hands the last couple weeks. That's it. So I think that's a valid. What he's saying is exactly right. It's not fatigue. You're right. But Giannis goes and gets 54-19 last night.
It's just simply is he big enough of a household name as a Larry Bird to put in there. And I don't know. I don't think voters should think like that at all. It would upset me if they do. I think what he's doing this season, absolutely. Like if it ended today, he's the MVP, and there's no question about it.
So Giannis goes 54-19 last night, where Jokic, messes around with a triple double, 22-14-16 in like 32 minutes. Super efficient. Couple that, those two things, or triple that, with the fact that Luka Doncic had a bit of an injury last night, third quarter, had to leave the game. He could be back the next game. We don't know.
We have no idea. Waiting on that today, I was just saying, he could be back very next game, or I don't know, he could miss some time, but his numbers keep moving here.
But, Giannis just sort of alerting everybody, in case you forgot, I'm here.
Yeah, he had been having a bit of a down season, but the past few weeks he's really picked it up. This is his third 50-point game in his last 11 games. The two guys I think are interesting to me are Luka and Jason Tatum. And JVT and I talked a little bit about Tatum last night at Hardwood Handicappers. The Luka and Tatum, really, Gil, it's one of those. Are they much different? Are statistically a much different season than what they had earlier in the year? Mm-hmm. No. Are their teams doing any better or any worse than what they were earlier in the year? No, not really. So for Luka, that's always kind of been my argument of I don't think he belongs near the top. He's been doing great stats, but his team's a 500 team. It's mediocre. He's really not making anybody else around him better. But Tatum, on the other hand, I think, you know, a month ago, the only bet to make in this market was Joel Embiid at about 10 to 1, 11 to 1. It's now shortened. If I had to make a bet today, it'd be Jason Tatum, because nothing's changed really with what Jason Tatum's doing on the basketball court and what his team's doing on the basketball court. It's just gotten to a point now where we have so little, not so little, but we have about 40% of the season left.
Yeah.
And is it really just a two-horse race, you got
to
ask?
Well, and I guess what I'm getting to again is, it doesn't matter if Giannis scores 50, if Jokic, is going to have a triple-double like this. And by the way, an easy-peasy triple-double. He's not getting 10 assists like the 10th one in the last minute. He's clearing it easily.
I mean, once again, Gil, he almost has it by halftime.
The Nuggets' performance with him and without him on the court is so stark.
That's the biggest thing.
And so that's why I kept making the point about he would only be the fourth guy to get the three-peat, because you could argue that this is the one that he deserves the most. And so this is the one that would be the ridiculous one to take away from him. Again, 30 games roughly left in the NBA season. But you have to make, if you're betting on this award, you just have to sort of handicap what you think the voters are going to do based on that sort of historical context. Will it matter to them or not? Will there be enough voters out there who have that kind of baseball voter mentality of the Hall of Fame where they're like, I don't want to vote this person in on the first ballot because no one gets voted in on the first ballot. Will somebody in the NBA group think to themselves, you know what, I don't want to put him up there with Wilt and Bill Russell and Bird? I don't know.
On-off splits plus 23.8 for Nikola Jokic when he is on the court.
Say that again.
He improves this team by 23.8 points per game.
I mean, there's my vote if I were voting. I mean, that's insane. And they got all their guys. And they got all their guys back, right?
Yes.
Wow. All right, we'll get back to those Super Bowl splits, MVP, and game props. And Aaron Rodgers said something yesterday. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time. It is high time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And then, bam, you start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Thanks to everybody. Great response again to the 12th annual Vegas Lifestyle Pod, beating the book Vegas Lifestyle Pod, Man's Guide to Sin City. It's the only podcast we do all year, the only episode that is not entirely sports betting related. Go through sports, our favorite sports books, what you need to know if you come to Nevada for either the Super Bowl or March Madness, what you need to know about apps, sports betting apps, that is. But we do talk about restaurants and other non-gaming related things. So thanks to the response, great even in the first 24 hours.
You guys went on a while, man. The crew is locked in downstairs.
Really?
Great conversation, yeah, about different restaurants to hit in town. And
we get into
sports books.
We get into what you need to know about weed and things like that even.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right, I said it. All our podcasts, not just Beating the Book. But Hardwood Handicappers, up 400%.
More like podcasts.
VSiN.com/podcast. Oh, I hear what you did there. Long Shots, also available. Every one of our podcasts, VSiN.com/podcast. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Russell Ambrose. Fans and mascots were getting drilled from errant throws during the dodgeball competition last night for the Pro Bowl. No net protection. Need to take notes from MLB.
Yeah. There was some comical moments of they did have like some of the linemen trying to catch punts and like throw passes yeah. and stuff. It was very obvious players who had experience in things in the past and other players that didn't.
You know, that net comment he makes also from like Major League Baseball ballparks is really like an interesting thing. When they built the one in San Francisco, the beautiful, it started out as, what was the first name? Pacific Pac Bell Park, and now it's been like four different names through the years, four different sponsors. But at first, when they built it, Major League Baseball was, you don't have the nets nearly far out enough. Like, they barely had nets behind home plate. They barely extended even to the first down the first baseline. So they had to, you know, extend the nets out further. But we used to sit on the third baseline, and there was no obstruction with nets. And now my buddy told me, he goes, oh, yeah, we're blocked by nets. Like, it's not the same anymore.
That stuff's tough.
Yeah.
Like I
get it.
I get it from both sides, right? I get paying tickets, going to a game, and getting angry that there's a bit of a net in your way.
Yeah, it's tough.
But you know what? It might save your life. So.
Might save your life. Because how many times in a baseball game you're like talking to somebody and like a ball's coming at you?
Oh, God, if it was me, like it'd be like 18% of my attention would be paid on the actually what's going on in the game. I'm like, yeah, drill, boom.
18%, ladies and gentlemen. He did the math. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney, he's trying to protect us here on a numbers game. He said, while you're joking about the field trip, Gil, there are those who actually believe you will be there and will show up hoping for a meet and greet and a couple of tacos and s'mores. House counsel suggests clarification. All right, so, Kelly.
Now we're building a menu and everything?
Now we're building
like,
a menu.
Come on, Isaiah can only do so much in the food truck.
Apparently we're supposed to say we're not going to actually be there across the Hoover Dam. I don't know. Sam Ginsberg, Radio Skid Row, he says. This is what ours should be called. D-Gen Southern Gent. Kelly, clearly you missed the offensive lineman water balloon toss at the Pro Bowl festivities last night. Otherwise, you would have been glued to your television. It was just riveting.
Oh, I saw that.
I think he's being sarcastic. Corbin, I might be a bit biased as a Canadian and the profile pick, obviously, but the NHL skills comp is way more interesting with the fastest skater and shooting ones, but a lot of it is stupid childish stuff. But not as stupid as the Pro Bowl. There you go.
It's all childish stuff at this point, yes.
And, new, by the way, the hockey stuff's right out of the strip, right outside my building right there. It's all, like, super, like, right in front of Bellagio. Or
really?
Right in front of the fountain. Yeah, it's, like, right out there.
Wait. The NHL All-Star Games here is in Vegas, too?
When it was.
Oh, when it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's in Florida. It's in Florida this year. I knew that.
New York Mets 16. Gil, you talk about efficiency, about Jokic. Look at Jokic's shooting last four games. He's like, you're not kidding. 9 for 13, 10 for 14, 8 for 12, and 12 for 20. Insane numbers to go along with the triple-doubles. So very true. Spike Magruder, I have Embiid 20-1. Anyone worth adding now, or should I ride it for a bit? Also with you lads on the Magic Division, LOL. That's right. The Magic Division.
I would just ride with it. That's a great ticket on Embiid. Sit there.
No.
Right. See where this thing goes.
So Pebble Beach Pro-Am also has occurred. Did you know that was starting when it started, Kelly? Or did that catch you by surprise as well?
No, I knew that.
You know that was
going. I bet it's going. I was watching some of it yesterday.
And so help me out here, because someone sent this to me, and I was like, did someone randomly ask Aaron Rodgers where he would be playing quarterback next year? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. We can listen to it right now. This is Colt Knows, who you'll often hear on PGA Tour broadcast. Former player, great guy. We've had him on shows on the network before. But, here's him talking with Aaron Rodgers during the program.
Hi,
Aaron.
Hi, Colt.
Got any news you want to share with us?
Not going to San Fran.
You look great with a Cowboy star on your helmet.
Not going to San Fran, Gil.
First of all, first rule, if you're ever going to live in the Bay, or in San Francisco, never call it San Fran. That's the first rule. And went to Berkeley, too.
So he burnt two bridges with one stone?
Some people
like two birds, one stone?
Well, here's the obvious question is, do you believe him? Did he just say that to say that, flipping comment off the cuff, or did he really mean it? People will read into that for the Aaron Rodgers prop.
Look, do I think it's as night and day with as how dismissive he is with it? No.
I don't think
San Fran is a 0% chance, and Aaron Rodgers has already decided that. I don't think that's the case.
Would that not be? Let's put it this way: would Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco not be by far the most impactful player to team move of any combination that could possibly happen this offseason? Given the Niners being so stacked around that position.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Nothing could compare.
I think that's Aaron Rodgers almost no matter where he goes, right?
Yes, but the Niners would specifically be the top of that
heap.
Jets right behind that, I think. So
Jets, Raiders, any of these teams would be far behind that.
Yeah, Jets plus 150 remains a short shot. The Raiders, where he would be reunited with Devontae Adams, plus 450. Bucks 7-1. Does he really want to follow Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? Why would he do that?
I don't know.
You won a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
It's a great point. I wouldn't want to. I mean, if you're the Bucks.
If you're the Bucks, sure.
I guess your decision then is, okay, we just replace kind of Brady with Rodgers.
And run it back.
Otherwise, we're blowing this whole thing up.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. That's your decision. Or you blow the whole thing up.
But I'm with you. If I'm Rodgers, I don't want to go there.
And then the Niners are plus 750.
Okay, this is another same kind of pro tip we brought up for a sec. Shop around book to book with this prop up because, okay, this is me reading. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I am reading into what PointsBet is saying on their market here because they only have about, 12 teams listed. So they don't have all 32 teams listed on this, okay? The Packers are not listed. And the odds are as such, and they don't say anything on there. I'm assuming these are the odds if he does not return.
Says that right at the top of the screen.
Yeah, because I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it.
Yeah, I wrote that. I'm assuming these are the odds if he doesn't return to Green Bay because they didn't list Green Bay.
You wrote that headline?
Yes.
I thought that was the prop title. Kelly's taking liberties with the
I am taking liberties. When the sports folks don't make it clear enough, Gil, I'm trying to make it as clear for our audience as possible.
Right, but do we know that to be the case?
No, I know, but I don't know it's not the case either. My point is, though, is you shop around the odds and figure out what is the case at each one of these shops.
Yep.
DraftKings is pretty clear about it because they had the Packers listed. But think about it. I think we saw the Jets were like plus 150 when we looked at the DraftKings market, right? It's not up at DraftKings right now. I think they were plus 150 when we saw the DraftKings market. So if you're able to take Green Bay out of it, it's a much smarter bet to make it points bet than it would be at DraftKings, assuming I'm reading the rules correctly.
Real quick, we won't do the game props here, but Super Bowl MVP, how do those splits break down at DraftKings?
Oh, yes, yes. We had those from DraftKings come through. These are pretty interesting, actually, with at where all the money's coming in. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, number one in handle and bets, 27% of Super Bowl MVP handle at DraftKings coming in on Patrick Mahomes so far. Odds plus 130. 17% of the bets. Jalen Hurts, as you would expect, right behind him, about 26% on him as part of their handle. So well over 50% of their handle on the two quarterbacks, about 15.8% of the bets heading to him. And then Hassan Reddick, who's the guy we've seen the odds move on the most.
This
right?
is the headliner of this.
It really is. Because I think he opened 55-1 there and dropped down to 35-1. Because he's got over 10% of the handle right now.
10.7% of the handle, 11.8% of the number of bets, 11.8% of the total bets. How much of that is because DraftKings is the hub is centralized in that area of the country?
Okay, so great. Also great stuff sent out by DraftKings. They had a little bit of a map we were able to get together, but a map of where the bets are coming in.
Yeah.
And who's betting Philly, who's betting KC. Basically, the whole country's KC except for right around Pennsylvania.
That's right. Where it is just Eagles country. Hassan Reddick, third in percent of handle and percent of bets for Super Bowl 57 MVP. We'll come back. John Legaisa joins us to talk baseball and football next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad, just be funny. That's all we care about. Martel, on your Guide to Vegas Restaurants podcast, on the Beating the Book podcast yesterday, you going to tell us about the ever elusive sushi spot? Hey, Martel, listen, buddy.
Keep going after him, guys.
some things are even too private for the Vegas Lifestyle pod. Trevor Warwick, any thoughts on most improved player in the NBA looking at a market where Shea is the second person on the betting board now behind Markkanen, worth a bet? Trevor, I will say what I've said from the beginning, that if you look at the history of most improved player in the NBA, it is simply a player, if they are to follow what they have done in years past, voters that is, it is a player that is known as good already from 1 year, who really improves to almost elite, if not borderline elite, than just a notch below it. That would fit the bill for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It rarely is a guy like Lauri Markkanen who, while making great strides, comes from, by comparison, relative obscurity to being really good, if that makes sense. So to me, the vote is only, or the bet should only be on Shai, as great as Markkanen's season is. Jason H11, about the podcast, about the Vegas Lifestyle pod, our 12th annual Vegas Lifestyle Pod on the Beating the Book podcast. Don't forget the critical information you guys got into about Swamp Tuchus beating being a seat filler and being too cheap to pay for parking. Great megapod.
That was my one tweeted. Your secret sushi spot versus Jeff's secret downtown parking spot.
That's right. You choose which is more valuable information. Bill Hooker. No time on Radio Row equals more time for finding tennis winners. Yeah, another one last night. Alessia Tsarenko. Hope everybody goes to the VSiN.com/picks page. We had a -123 play on Alessia Tsarenko last night in Thailand, and she won her match 6-1, 6-1. So easy peasy on that. Appreciate the tweet from you, Mr. Hooker. Ladies and gentlemen, he hasn't been with us for a little while. We have missed his energy. He works so many different places. Mayo Media Network, writes for The Athletic as well. Host of Cork Stats on Mayo Media Network. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Legesa. How you doing, Johnny?
Happy Friday, Gil. Good to see you. You know, what happens on the Vegas pod stays on the Vegas pod.
It do. It seriously do. let me just, because you have the beautifully procured grass behind you, let's start with baseball, shall we? Because that looks like it. We're ready to play in April. You have a little formula that has produced some World Series bets for you, some championship bets for you in baseball. Explain the formula, sir, and what you landed on.
Yeah, all right. You know what? Having a couple spins around the carousel now, being in the public and putting these picks out, right, I actually have these receipts. I've been very, very good at it. And I think the way to do it is, again, to be balanced and to have a formula, like you're saying, right, to be formulaic in our approach. So for me, it's pretty simple. It's starting pitching. It's offensive depth, bullpen, and then, of course, the all-important odds. Just quickly to that point, you know, I have been tweeting about the totals, right, win-loss stuff. But for me, that's just more of a guide, more of like a lodestar for how I view the season. I do not like to lock up -110 for 6 months. World Series odds, now we're talking. All right, let's get into it. I have one, the porridge is a little too hot. One, it's a little too cold. One, it's probably right in the middle. So we got one favorite, one dog, one mid. The favorite, my favorite at the top, is the Atlanta Braves. 10-1, so +1,000. Again, the starting pitchers are there. And I like to look at the quality of the sixth starter, right? Everyone always focusing on the rotation. Fantasy is kind of at the four right now, but everybody needs at least six starters. So the Braves have Soroka, who's very good, and Ian Anderson competing for that spot. We know they have depth on offense. We know they're also aggressive in player acquisition. The bullpen's very strong. Iglesias is back with Jimenez added, and the odds are really good, 10-1. They're probably one of the three or four best teams, depending on how you think about Houston, after losing somebody like Verlander. So I love the Atlanta pick. I think those odds are going to shrink as we get closer to that warm weather, that beautiful grass behind me. Then it's right in the middle, Seattle. And again, just a lot of the running themes is, again, it's formula. It's starting pitching. We know they have Matt Brash as the sixth starter waiting in the wings. We know the bullpen is extremely strong between Munoz and Sewell. They've been great. And the odds, excellent, 18-1 for a playoff team. And Julio Rodriguez, you know, superstar. We don't know where that career trajectory is going to go. We know the arrow is pointing firmly up. Also, again, very aggressive as far as trading, player acquisition. So we want to know if we're putting our money on teams early on that they're going to be behind our bets. I've made that mistake as a younger man, let's say going over on teams like the Marlins. And then even if they get out to a good start, they kind of sell. So let's back good teams with playoff and championship, right, hopefully, aspirations. And then last, the bottom one is the Guardians, again, playoff team, right? So we're just kind of looking for that next step. They do a lot of things right. I think the public is off them, right, Gil? They're not a mashing offense, right? We don't see the big home runs, but with offense down, they do a lot of other things really well. Again, stretching first to third, scoring from second, these things are very important. And again, defense at the four for the Guardians. So again, it's Plesac with Cody Morris, Class A and Karinchak. The odds at 33-1 for a team that just made the playoffs and has improved, bringing in Josh Bell, big lefty. That ballpark plays up really well to left-handed stick. So I think the arrow's pointing up on all three of these teams. And I wouldn't be surprised if these odds, I don't want to say cut in half, but let's say all of them lose, let's say a third of this value by the time we hit opening day.
Let me just two follows because I want to get to your Super Bowl 57 thoughts, both on side and your favorite prop. But you mentioned that the parts that go into this, obviously the odds being the obvious one, but pitching, depth, and bullpen, is there one of those that is weighted more than the others, or is it just kind of equal parts for you?
Okay, I think the number one priority is having more than one quote-unquote ace, right, in shorter series or must-win games or even seven-game sets where we've seen teams like the Diamondbacks, you know, throw the big unit and Schilling at my Yankees over and over and over again. So impactful starting pitching is at the fore. I don't want to say hitting matters the least, but I say with the way hitting has changed, shortening the game with impactful bullpen arms, probably having a guy on both sides really matters. Again, all three of these teams check those boxes with impactful lefties as well.
Okay, and then the only other follow-up real quick. New schedule format, 52 division games, previously 78, obviously more interleague games. Did that play into your philosophy here at all and what you ended up betting?
You know, I wanted to say that it should, because it feels like it should. But watching enough of these games and betting on them every day, I just don't want to go into things saying I know how it's going to shake out. I want to stay within myself, which is the stronger inputs and the more balanced teams with better depth are going to win more games over the course. Because we could say, well, hitters will be less accustomed. Well, it works both ways, right? Pitchers seeing a team for the first time, sometimes rookies show up and dominate in their first look. And some teams say, well, it's a hitter sees you a couple times. So it's not enough for me to quantify, let's say. So I'm just staying with my inputs.
Super Bowl 57. Let's start with the side. Who you got?
Well, for me, it's the Fly Eagles Fly, and I say it like kind of sighing because I really like the Chiefs. And just aside from that, I want to see teams at full strength, and I think that's the determining factor here because this is strength on strength, right? Philadelphia defense, number one year-to-date in yards per game, yards per play, and pass yards per game. Top three, EPA per dropback, opposing passer rating, and pressure rate, all things that really, really matter. Kansas City Chiefs offense on the year. Number one, I just put in everything. How's that sound? Points per game, EPA per play, drive success rate, first downs per drive. But, Gil, at what point do the injuries become too much? Hardman, Schuster, Tony, all have not practiced, and I don't think we could say any of them are on track to be impactful. Where are they going to turn for explosiveness? I don't know. So I just think that the Eagles, in particular, with Hurts being able to run and add that dimension in tight games, Kansas City also bottom five in rush yards allowed to QBs. So I just think, I don't think the Eagles wipe them. I just think that they outlast them. Again, we've seen the Eagles be able to win in multiple different ways. Where do the Chiefs turn? Like I said, I think it'll be Pacheco. He's literally on offense when he gets the ball, right? He is on offense. He's looking to hit people while he ball carries. So I like the receiving yards over 12.5. He took over that pass game role against the Bengals. So he out-snapped. He ran more routes and out-touched McKinnon, more scrimmage yards, 85 to 18, six targets, 5 for 59. So 12.5 for a runner who runs with his style feels like one grab we could go over. So I like the Eagles money line. I saw it at minus 120, which, by the way, if you could find it at minus 120, there's no reason to pay for any points, right? Especially on the cover side, people, simple math there. So give me the Eagles to win it. And unfortunately, I think the Chiefs will be back and they're great. But also, I think Pacheco gets over that receiving prop pretty easily.
And the Pacheco prop, just to clarify, do you feel that that's correlated to the Eagles winning where the Chiefs will have to be in catch-up mode, or you just think 12.5 is too low, period?
Well, yeah, a lot of times when I do props, I like to think that it's game script independent, right? Being that Pacheco is the explosive playmaker, and we know Kelsey's going to get the lion's share of the attention, I think in order to get there, score points, they need Pacheco. And if they fall behind, that's a great way to get pass. So the Chiefs' pass rate through the roof anyway.
John, enjoy the game, man. We appreciate it. Great seeing you.
Yes, enjoy the weekend. Missed you, man.
John Legace, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at John Legace, LagHezza. Lagheza. Paul Carr on the other side. Much easier to spell. Premier League picks. He's got a three-pack of them for your action this weekend. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus. When you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program, just sign into your BetMGM account. Click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. How about a pro tip for the hour? Kelly, you want to do that?
Pro tip.
We brought up NBA teams to have the most wins yesterday, but make sure to compare with number one seed odds in each conference. Might make more sense to bet that depending on the odds. Just another reminder to shop market to market, even at the same book. All of our betting tips, one every hour, at least 20 a day here at VSiN, all for pro subscribers only at vsin.com. If I'm doing this properly, I'm going to give credit to the gentleman who sent that in. Nathan Mallinson, earlier today on Twitter, asked me that question. He goes, hey, I found a plus 1250 on number one seed. And I'm like, dude,
yep.
Absolutely, you're right. That's a better bet.
Yep, totally is.
For sure. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from Third Coop. Oh, I talked about how Aaron Rodgers, the first rule of the Bay Area, don't call San Francisco San Fran, like others around the country do. He says, San Fran, Chi-Town, Hotlanta, La La Land, the Big D, Mile High, the Big Apple. I use them daily.
I think a lot of people do, including
awesome.
Myself.
He goes, FYI, since he was robbed by the referees last week, just threw that in.
La La Land is maybe my least favorite.
La La Land.
Like, that drives me nuts. Why are we trying to make it's L.A.? Why are we trying to make it longer to say the word L.A.?
Chi-Town is cool, though. Jason Stark. Hey, Gil and Kelly. Kelly, did I mishear you say that the whole country was on KC except the Philly area?
I'm glad he brought this up.
The state-by-state DK splits on the VSiN site show the exact opposite. Only KC support is in Kansas. Wondering if you were referencing a different book or just had it opposite.
No, see, Jason, what I did there was I only looked at the top map, which was the money line. Gil, this is actually fascinating now that I'm looking at this. So money line, it's Chiefs all over the country on the map except for around Philly, and then go spread, and it's basically the exact opposite.
Oh, that is interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
Frank Doyle. Have we talked about the LeBron breaking the record props yet? Bucks on TNT at minus 150 has to be a shoo-in. We have, just not this morning yet, but I'm glad you brought it up, Frank. LeBron dropped 23 last night, I believe it was, in the Lakers win, which would leave him, was it 26? 26.
I think it was 26.
26. So that leaves him 63 points shy of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time record of points in the National Basketball Association career. So he's 63 shy. So what Frank is saying is absolutely right, that the Lakers now have a game against New Orleans at New Orleans tomorrow.
That got flexed to ESPN, I believe, so you'll be able to watch that.
He ain't dropping 63. This just in.
Yeah.
And then he's got that game. Oh, well, then he's got Oklahoma City, and then he's got Milwaukee.
Yeah, OKC plus 165 for where he'll break the record against. The Bucks are minus 150.
OKC, not out of the realm of possibility.
Not at all.
But Milwaukee, appropriately the favorite, and it is the TNT game.
Yeah. I don't know if they should be that big of a favorite,
though. I don't know if either, because Oklahoma City's in play.
Definitely.
By the way, the flyer on the Pelicans will not work out. But that was the long shot bet that made the most sense. Yeah, I still think Frank is right. The Bucks probably is where it will end up, but
especially,
I don't know.
Especially since I don't know who the hell on the Thunder is going to guard LeBron James.
So there is that.
Yes.
There is that point. And this will lead into Paul Carr. This is from The Better Life, Tim Lawson. By the way, Tim Lawson's The Better Life, one of the great podcasts that are out there. Premier League and Super Bowl are cool, but what I really want to know from Paul Carr is if he thinks this is the year for his Kansas City Current to win the National Women's Soccer League. And we bring in, from True Media Networks, the director of content there, of course, past days at ESPN, the Expected Value podcast. It is our friend Paul Carr. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I did not expect the Kansas City Current conversation today.
I did not either.
I'll take it.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I would say probably looking a little more toward 2024. They made a couple good signings. They've got a new stadium opening next year. So that'll be a lot of excitement, and they'll be building a lot, both financially and just kind of from a fan standpoint, into that. So maybe not this year, but next year I'd say would be a little bit more of a target for them.
Okay, there's a very good answer to a very good question. By the way, Women's World Cup this year, correct? Like, how pumped are you for this?
Yeah. Well, getting very excited. U.S. has, the women have some big games next month, or this month, I guess, in a couple weeks against Canada, Japan, Brazil. Just warm-up matches, but still the best competition they'll face before the tournament. Could U.S. two-time defending champion. Should be fun.
Could it be a better overall betting vehicle than the Men's World Cup was, or not as good?
I mean, there's more unknowns, because even for the lower third of the men's teams, casual soccer fans familiar with at least a handful of players, and you get to watch them week in, week out in the top European leagues. The women's, the bottom of the women's tournament, which is expanded to 32, will include like Vietnam and Philippines this week, who, you know, I've never heard of or seen any of these teams play. So we'll have some blowouts probably, kind of like we did last year. I don't know that it's much better or worse, to be honest, from a betting standpoint, just because, again, these players don't play together. So even if you know them, you haven't seen this team play much, let alone in this kind of high intensity competitive environment.
All right. Premier League now halfway. We are halfway through the Premier League season, and Arsenal is atop the table by 5 points. They played 19 games. Man City's played 20. 50 points for Arsenal, 45 for Man City. And then it drops off even further to Newcastle and Man U at 39. So this lead is sort of extending. The separation is getting bigger. You have a three-pack of picks, beginning with one today, one tomorrow, and one Sunday. What's today?
I do. Today is Chelsea-Fulham. We get back in the groove here after an FA Cup weekend. I have both teams score at minus 105. In some ways, this is real simple. Both defenses are kind of a mess. Chelsea's midfield, also a mess. And there should be a lot of scoring chances here. You look at Fulham's games, there have been lots of goals. 16 of the 21 have had 3-plus goals, and 10 of the last 12 have each had one expected goal each, meaning the chances were relatively balanced. Chelsea went out and spent like $400 million on transfers this month, but most of those guys, you know, won't be in the squad yet. Some of them were just this week, or they obviously won't be up to, you know, full speed on how the team is playing and things like that. Mentioned a lot of injuries, especially in the midfield. A lot of their outside backs are hurt, their top couple, and that's where Fulham likes to create the chances from. So I really see both teams getting plenty of chances here. If you'd rather play over 2.5, you can probably get that at like minus 115. I don't mind that, but I played both teams to score at minus 105.
All right, that's 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific today for those who want some midday soccer action. Both teams to score between Chelsea and Fulham. Wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without an over bet. You got one tomorrow. Yeah.
I do. Wolverhampton and Liverpool over 2.5, minus 125. Speaking of defenses that are a mess, we have Liverpool here. Virgil van Dijk's out. Konate's still out. So both their ideal starting center backs won't be in this game. Liverpool's defense just hasn't been good. Their games have all had over 3 goals, or averaging over 3 goals a game, with underlying numbers to match that. They just give up really good shots, especially in a transition where their defense doesn't get back. Wolves is not a big offensive threat, but I think Liverpool will still give them chances. And Wolves' defense is not as good as it has been the last couple of years. They've allowed, I think, the 7th most expected goals this season. So there's going to be goals here, I think, one way or the other, over 2.5 at minus 125 for me.
Yeah, and I think we have it wrong on the graphic. I do believe Brentford and Southampton is tomorrow as well. Am I mistaken?
It is tomorrow, yes.
Yeah. All right, what do you got there?
Yeah, so this is my favorite, take the better team here. Brentford's a better team. They've been great at home. Southampton's in last place. I have a plus 300 ticket on them getting relegated, so I'm in good shape with that one right now, at least.
You are.
But yeah, Brentford's just better. They've, like I said, they've been really good at home. And what they do defensively, they don't give you good shots, which seems kind of like an obvious thing to do, but they give up the 2nd worst shots, which is good for a defense. And Southampton is not good at creating good chances. They take the 3rd worst shots. So I don't think Southampton's going to have a lot of good opportunities here. Ivan Toney's been red hot for Brentford, 8 goals in his last 8 home games. Again, they play well at home, a little bit more attacking, generate some more scoring chances. I think they win this one. Minus 115 is the price I got.
That is definitely your best preseason ticket. Southampton 3-1 to get relegated. They are in dead last place. They are 4-13-3, which I'm told is not good.
That's not good.
And they have scored 17 goals in 20 games, which I guess is not as bad as Everton in terms of offense, and not as bad as Bournemouth in terms of just the goal differential, but bad at any way you slice it.
Yeah, Southampton probably isn't the worst team in the league, but they have been both bad and unlucky, which is exactly how you get relegated.
Both teams score today, Chelsea and Fulham. Tomorrow, Wolverhampton and Liverpool over 2.5 goals, and then also tomorrow, Brentford over Southampton. Paul Carr's 3-pack of picks. Thank you, Paul. Great seeing you.
You bet. Let's go.
At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, True Media Network's Expected Value Podcast. We'll come back, a look at some NBA futures, and Joe Fortenbaugh will join us to talk Super Bowl 57. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.